10 o'clock hour, Wool the Touch begins now.
It's good to be alive right about now.
With a DeWitt Law Firm Q&A day. DeWittLLP.com. As I mentioned, Jordan Taylor got back to me right away, sent me the form I need to fill out on who's going to take my children if something happens to Paula and I, and who gets all the
responsibility. But we will take it out.
You were on the short list.
Who's doing it?
I don't know. I haven't filled out the paperwork yet. Maybe you and Sarah still have time to prove yourselves. More importantly, DeWitt has been.
Well, I know after yesterday, it's not Domofsky. I know that.
DeWittLLP.com is where you can go to find out all about all the great services that DeWitt can provide for you.
Amanda Bowen is part of that team as well. You got Jordan Taylor, DeWitt Law Firm attorneys who are experienced, practical, and dedicated to outstanding legal results for their clients. Tax needs, estate planning. Happy that Jason is finally getting into that. DeWitt Law Firm represents individuals in these very personal areas of the law with discretion and the legal acumen its clients have come to rely on, assisting clients with such personal matters. Just a few of the more than 30 practice area specialties offered by the attorneys at DeWitt Law Firm. DeWitt Law Firm has attorneys on the ground in Milwaukee, Madison, and in Minneapolis. Learn more about DeWitt's attorneys online at DeWittLLP.com. That's DeWittLLP.com.
So this is normally a Packers question time. And you can share yours via the talk and text line, 844-770-3776. But, Jesse, I am going to ask you an important question. So we had our good buddy Bill Schroeder on earlier this week. And at your expense, we, you know, kind of poked fun at how you were starting to panic and how you're getting flashbacks to 2011. I know you would rather have the Brewers win the World Series and get things fixed here going forward, get the division clinched and move forward that way. But do you feel a little bit justified in your nervousness? And where is that on the scale of 1 to 10 right now after they blew a 5-0 lead yesterday? And there are some questions about a bullpen that had been something that you didn't worry about at all.
All right, so here's where I'm at. I am not worried about the Brewers losing the division. Like, they're still 7.5 up on the Cardinals, even though they still have 3 head-to-head games with the Cardinals. It's going to be virtually impossible for the Cardinals to overtake the Brewers for the division.
I don't like that phrase.
It's still going to be, they're going to be fine. They're 10 games better than the Braves. They're going to be the 2 seed in the NL playoff picture. That's fine. They're going to have home field in the first round, and then they're going to have to play either the Giants or the Dodgers, most likely. What I'm nervous about is the St. Louis Cardinals, because this is what they do. They're evil, and they're maniacally evil, because they're not a good...
Because they're winning?
They're not a good baseball team for 4 months of the season. They get hot at the end, and boom, they go win in World Series. Like, that's what they did in 2011. That's what they've made a couple of their other postseason runs out of. Like, they're not a great baseball team, but they just figure out a few pieces at the end, and they're relevant and around, and they could get a big win. And the way, I mean, look at what they did to the Brewers. They scored in the first inning in almost every game this series. Like, if you go to a one-game playoff, Cardinals-Dodgers, Cardinals bat first at Dodger Stadium, and they put 2 runs on the board, the Dodgers are rattled, and the Dodgers could be one of the best teams in baseball, and the Cardinals could beat them in a one-gamer. And then the Cardinals play the Giants, who are this inexperienced young team. The Cardinals come away with a series win there, and suddenly it's Brewers-Cardinals NLCS, and I'm terrified of that because of the familiarity from seeing each other all season long. I hate when the Cardinals are like this, and that's what scares me about the postseason. The Brewers are set up so well to make a run, and the Cardinals could get in the way of it.
So you're not worried about anything? Brewers, Yelich still struggling again? The injury, the bullpen being a little bit all over the place right now? You're not worried anything? You're purely worried about the Cardinals?
Yeah, I think the Brewers right now, I mean, yeah, you might be having a couple of worse performances than you're used to seeing throughout the season, but You're gearing up for the postseason run. You've got things pretty much squared away still. You can go through a little bad stretch at the end of September and still be good once you turn the script to October. So I'm not worried necessarily about... I mean, Yelich is what he is at this point this season. You can't expect him to be MVP Yelich. The rest of the guys, Willy Adames, like, is he going to be good? Hopefully. Lorenzo Cain, defensively, been pretty good in the outfield. Like, is he going to be able to bring the bat when needed, when called upon in a pressure situation? Those are the questions that, I mean, you're just going to have to ride it and see here. Like, I feel pretty confident about where they're at. The Cardinals are the team that scares me. You can ride the Brewers' rotation really far, but the familiarity, if the Cardinals end up being an NLCS opponent, terrifies me.
All right, first off, let's close the division up. Then let's worry about the Braves. What are you thinking? Like, the Cardinals shouldn't be on our radar except for closing out the division. Yesterday, you get a grand slam. You're up, and you have to win that game. Stop this craziness that's going on. You don't. I think, again, I don't think that we're in monster jeopardy. Still three-game, what is it, the magic numbers at
magic
three?
Number, yeah.
I think if we're playing the Cardinals 10 times now, they're beating us 8 or 9 as we sit here right now. They just beat us 4. They play 3 more. Yeah. I don't want to see them. Get a break here. Who do we play this weekend?
Well, that's what Jesse's saying.
That's
he's
exactly what I'm
them.
Saying. Well,
you just agreed with him.
No. But he's worried about them in the NLCS. I'm saying we got to close up shop.
Yeah.
You got to close
time
up
there,
shop.
Jesse.
Mets this weekend at AmFam Field. Final regular season series at home.
All right, we need a sweep. It's got to be sweep or bust here.
Right. Don't get have to worry about anything done. Else then. That takes care of the three games that you need for the magic number.
Correct. Because if you don't, all of a sudden, then you lose one or two in St. Louis, people are going to get tight, like real tight.
And then you got the Dodgers they close the season with in L.A. next week. They could be playing for something at that point still.
Oh, boy. Come on, boys. Let's go.
I would explain why your stress ball is all beat up there, Tausch. All right, so my DeWitt Law Firm Q&A Day question that's Packers related is this. Tausch, will we be talking on Monday morning about how Joe Barry's defense figured things out and got better, or will we be talking yet again about Joe Barry? I had one of my colleagues who will remain nameless, but they've been known to be bold once in a while.
Okay, and potentially stealing your wife, yep.
Said, I don't, by the way, I checked with Paula on that. Not interested.
That's
there may
not
be
her.
Some.
Aw, poor Bob.
She might be more Schneidman, huh? A little younger?
Younger, yeah. Hipper, yeah. Well, that Wes Hodquitz is a nice young fella too, even though he's not so young anymore either.
Yeah, okay.
But he said he would wager, not a large amount of money, that maybe Joe Barry doesn't make it through the season.
Wow.
And so then as we're sitting there waiting for the next coach to come in, we're talking about
knowledge, or is this you idiots just talking?
No, this is just us talking.
Okay.
And then we started talking about, well, who would they promote?
Oh, Mike Smith.
And we said either Mike Smith or Jerry Gray. Jerry Gray has a bunch of experience and is really well-respected in the building. He was the only one that interviewed for the job when it was open. But we're getting ahead of ourselves because by Monday we could talk about how great of a game plan the defense had and how Jimmy G threw three picks and they won the game going away. But then again, maybe we won't be talking about that. What we will be talking about next.
Just wait, do you think that what. Now, why doesn't Tobolski put that in his Tobolski column? Because that's bold.
It is, but, you know, I don't. I mean, what is it based on?
Let me tell you something. You fire a coordinator midseason, that's desperate.
I have a
follow
up there.
We are tracking the wrong way.
What would have to happen for Joe Barry to be fired midseason?
A-Rod. Like,
how bad does it have to get? Or
Aaron
who
Rodgers.
Has... Right. So Rodgers goes to who? Murphy?
I don't know who...
No,
know
no,
who
wait
what
a
happens
minute.
To get
wait
Joe Barry
wait,
fired?
Wait, whoa,
who does
whoa,
he
whoa.
Hey, Jason, who does Rodgers report to as general manager? Because it's not Goody, obviously.
Ed Policy.
Okay.
I don't think Aaron Rodgers is going to fire Joe Barry. The way Joe Barry behaved yesterday and how he tried misdirection on when exactly Matt LaFleur told him we need to do something different defensively led me to believe that I don't know if he's a little nervous about how his boss is feeling about the job he's doing right now or what, but I can tell you this. It ain't great, Bob Domofsky. We need to talk some real Ryder Cup, not Tausch watching it on the television in his undisclosed location.
I ain't gonna lie to you, but good start, Team USA, though. Good start, Team USA, for everybody that's
but Greg Matzik, who will join us live from Whistling Straits as our coverage of the Ryder Cup continues, presented by Delzer Lithograph, commercial print done right. Visit Delzer.com to find out more. They've got everything you need. They've got a team of industry experts that respect the details and solve problems to make sure that each customer's design, print, and fulfillment is done right, all under one roof. Again, that's Delzer Lithograph, commercial print done right. Greg Matzik and Mark Tauscher will talk lots and lots and lots of Ryder Cup. Next, it's Wildy and Tausch. We've enjoyed Tausch's non-play-by-play coverage.
Gotta follow the rules. Gotta follow the rules.
Rules are good.
Of the Ryder Cup. And I say, hey, hey, from his undisclosed location. But let's go to a disclosed location for live coverage from one of our teammates. Live at Whistling Straits as our coverage of the Ryder Cup, presented by Delzer, the full-service commercial print leader that delivers premium experiences for brands pursuing excellence in design, print, and fulfillment. They've been into the industry for 72 years. Visit Delzer.com to find out more. That's Delzer Lithograph, commercial print done right. It is our friend, Greg Matzik, live from the Ryder Cup. Greg, good morning. How are you, buddy?
Doing well, fellas. What's up? What's going on? Happy Ryder Cup Friday.
So, Greg, I saw you posted, and I was amazed. You're posting, you said, the fans were coming in like the student section at Wisconsin, but that actually isn't true because everybody was on time and got there early.
Back when you played, Tausch, there was always a rush to get into the student section. I mean, you wanted to be in O, you wanted to be in P, you wanted to be there early. Yes, things have changed, but that's what it looked like to me. Just like it was like a college football tailgate scene, and it's like, all right, party's over here, now we carry the party inside the venue. And it was 6 a.m. with a DJ going off. Like it was a damn rock concert this morning.
Oh, I like that. So give us a little taste. The Euros come in, everybody boo.
What are we cheering for?
What do you mean?
So Sergio finally made a putt. Now he's blowing kisses to the crowd that is sort of tepidly booing him. So it's been a bit of a roller coaster here for Rahm and Garcia, but they are now up two and maybe going to three.
Oh,
here.
No, I just watched it live. Yeah, he buried it as a 30-footer.
I just watched it live after you told us what happened.
And he's blowing kisses. Yeah. Matzik is way ahead of the game here, people. I didn't realize this is tape delayed.
Yeah, like you didn't believe me, Tausch. No, you really didn't.
Yeah, I didn't want to. So take us inside, because I think the coolest part, obviously you had the opening ceremonies last night, but that first tee balls, the Euros come up. Is it everybody booing? Give us a little taste of what that first tee's like.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy stuff, right? I mean, it's early in the morning, obviously, so there's the kind of energy as, I don't know, can I give play-by-play? Am I going to get...
You can give like a recap of what you thought happened, yeah.
Okay, well, it's over, but JT and Jordan have missed yet another putt inside 5 feet that has screwed them.
Oh, it's Barmy.
This should be even, by the way. It should be even. Nonetheless, so yes, so the
oh, left edge
today.
Yeah, he left edged it.
The loudest cheers I heard, thank you, Tausch, was when Tony Finau and Steve Stricker emerged from the tunnel. And Finau's not even playing this morning. He might play this afternoon. But when he and Stricker came out, it was like, okay, game is on. The music was turned off. They were hyping up the crowd a little bit. and then he had the European caddies come through along with Padraig Harrington on a booze. And I heckling, right? It's somewhat friendly overall, but you hear cheers when the Europeans miss putts. You don't often hear that in a normal PGA event. So that's one of the big differences. It's eruptions from the crowd, miss or make.
So, Greg, you're saying Spieth and Thomas, who are kind of, I said, our bell cows, kind of the guy setting the tone, they should be tied, but instead they're Dormy. And Jason, for you that don't play
Dormy
golf, Dormy means you cannot win the match anymore. The best you can do is push. Odds of that, not great. It's three down with three to go. That means it's Dormy. The best you can get is a half point. And that's where the Europeans have put Spieth and the boys.
No, that's exactly right. And really, it's been, and they're about to come up on 16. I'm on a platform right now overlooking what somebody told me was the Pacific Ocean. And I assured them it's Lake Michigan. I promise you that. But we're right on hole 16. They're about to tee off. So Thomas and Spieth, Ramon Garcia are going to be coming up here in a few moments. But yeah, Thomas and Spieth have missed probably five putts inside 10 feet, I would say. And you cannot do that. And that's after Sergio has put John Rahm in some terrible positions for his second shot. So not able to take advantage. But the group that's leading the charge right now is the final group, Patrick Cantlay and Xander Schauffele. They're up four through 10 holes, which is remarkable. And they were up five just a couple of holes ago. So they've had a really impressive start.
Okay, so
Greg,
the U.S. is in a good spot, hopefully going to be up at the worst 2.5 to 1.5, or hopefully 3 to 1, because I don't think they're going to catch the Thomas match. What's the afternoon format?
So the afternoon format is four balls. So you'll have everybody playing their own ball, essentially. It's the best way to put it. So alternate shot in the morning, everybody plays their own ball in the afternoon, but you take the best score from your group. So if, for example, Bryson DeChambeau and Tony Finau are playing together, they won't, but let's just use it as an example. Bryson gets a four, Tony gets a five, you take the best score and hope that it's good enough to beat the other team. So playing your own ball from tee to green.
Now, Greg, who else are you excited to watch today as you're following coverage throughout the day?
So I've been really intrigued by Bryson, right? So he's like the beefy guy who hits the ball 400 yards, and he's a little odd sometimes when he's not on the course. He's sometimes odd when he's on the course. He has been like the hype train walking around here. He was doing like a Happy Gilmore run around the practice tee the other day with a club between his legs trying to get the crowd hyped. He was out there this morning at 6:35 in the morning before anybody else came out aside of Tony Finau and Steve Stricker. And he was one leading the USA chance to get the crowd going. So he's had like an interesting sort of pep in his step, and like, I don't know, he's endearing himself, I think, to the crowd here. He's been the hype machine for Team USA when it's been these mild or lull moments. He's been the guy to kind of bring it out. So I do think he'll play this afternoon, but there's some holes out here that, you know, his length will be really interesting to see if it pays off, because there's a lot of risk reward, right? If you hit it right, you're going to be in a great spot. If you miss just a little bit left, well, you're in the Atlantic Ocean.
Oh, the Atlantic. So, Greg, how many people are out there? Ballpark?
I am terrible at that, Tausch. I have no idea.
Okay.
But I will say this. I think I would say U.S. fans outnumber European fans 10 to 1, 11 to 1, maybe more.
Okay.
So I talked with one group of people who came in from London. And I said, well, when did you leave? When did you leave Europe? And they left on September 5th. Because they had to go to Mexico, spend 14 days in Mexico, then get to the United States. And I asked when they're going home. They said they had to be here a minimum of 10 days. So this has turned into like a one-month-long odyssey for anybody coming in from overseas from Europe. So it's been kind of a nightmare, pretty restrictive travel situation. That's definitely influenced here in the crowd.
That makes literally no sense on 100 levels why they had to go through all that. I'm not going to get into the different policies on travel, probably for a lot of good reasons. But give us a taste. If you're coming in, you're walking in here at 11 or 12 o'clock as a fan, what should you be doing? What's the best experience if you're not Greg Matzik and you get to stand up on platforms and walk inside the ropes? What should the average fan do today?
Yeah, perfect. If you're just pulling in right now, right, you're maybe getting shuttled in or wherever it is, you're getting your parking squared away, you are in a perfect position at, you know, roughly 10:30 to work your way over to hole one. That is exactly what I would do, because in about an hour and a half or so, you're going to have the round two, essentially. The afternoon session is going to tee off, and that's where you get the most energy. Hole one, watch all those groups bleed through, and when they're done, you know, go find yourself an ice cold one, perhaps, maybe a Tito's. They have that on the course here.
And then
settled into a spot where you can see a green and a tee box or two greens. You get a little more bang for the buck that way. But if you're just getting here, man, go to hole one. Get camped out, get in a good spot, because about 12 o'clock or so, it's going to be nuts there like it was this morning.
What if you need to be at the Milwaukee Ballet School around 5:45 p.m.? What time would you leave to get through the Kohler Sheboygan Greater Metroplex?
You know, it's really interesting because obviously Kohler is somewhat right in the middle of Milwaukee and Green Bay, Jason, and conveniently, or maybe inconveniently, the host hotel, the media hotel, is in Green Bay. So there's all sorts of busing going down 43 toward the Sheboygan area. If you're not on the, are you on the road yet? You're not, right? Because you're doing this radio show. Just give yourself time. Get to Milwaukee, get a nice little lunch, maybe do a little walk. Beautiful day at Veterans Park, I'm sure, and then just settle in. Why stress yourself, right? Life's too short.
Great idea. Except for the ballerinas still in school till 2:30. All right, Greg, thanks for all your coverage. Enjoy the rest of the day. Have a great time, and we appreciate your insights from the actual course as opposed to Tausch, who's watching the Ryder Cup much more closely than he's listening to the radio program. Thanks, buddy.
Guys, thank you. I appreciate it, and I very much appreciate thanking you.
That is nice.
I can't wait for Greg to tell us what happened next, and then for Tausch to tell us the same thing happened about 10 seconds later.
Oh, Sergio!
Oh, the rim of the left side.
Yeah, I caught that left rim. Yeah, I'll say this. Rory and the boys are roaring back. They were down five, only down three now. Let's go, Schauffele. Come on.
I have a question about the Ryder Cup.
Schauffele. Tough word to spell.
Very tough, yes. Tough to say, too.
Xander. Not as exactly easy either.
So this round right now, Friday morning, first one, is this like the first quarter of an NBA game where it's like, wow, the Bucks are up 13, but it really doesn't matter big in the grand scheme of things? Or is this like the first quarter of a football game where you got a chance to kind of put your foot down and go up 21-0 before the other team blinks?
I think the whole day would be like the first quarter of an NFL regular of a NFL postseason game, not regular season, because you can really get out to a lead and step on somebody, but still, because Sunday is individual matches and the most points, you can go Houston Texans, Kansas City Chiefs, you can get out to a nice big lead today and then pee down your leg. So I would say it's like a I would say it's a postseason NFL game. Today is your first quarter.
We will try not to pee down our leg when we do our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week. Again, thanks to Greg Matzik for his report, and thanks to Delzer Lithograph for their support of our coverage of the Ryder Cup. Delzer, commercial print done right. Visit Delzer.com to find out more. Our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week are next. It's Will D. Tausch. I'll be riding shotgun underneath the hot sun.
Thanks again to Greg Matzik updating us from the course at Whistling Straits as the Ryder Cup is underway. In addition, the Steinhoffel's Buy More, Save More sale is underway. The more you buy, the more you save. Of course, starting with 35% off store-wide and then saving up to an extra $300 on qualifying purchases. And the Steinhoffel special financing, you'll save even more. Plus, Friday, you know what that means. It's Packers Green and Gold Friday at every Steinhoffel's location. I saw the sign is up at the new one here in Green Bay. We're excited for them to be here at Bay Park Square Mall. But stop into any Steinhoffel's, one that's actually open, obviously. Steinhoffel Superstores, wearing your gold, green and gold Packers gear, and today you'll save up to 36% on select entertainment consoles only at Steinhoffel's. Time now for our Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week.
Don't sleep, you gotta stay up. Hey there, sleepyhead. Wakey, wakey.
Okay, campers, rise and shine.
It's time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week on Will D. and Tausch.
time for the Steinhoffel Sleepers of the Week and the undefeated in regular season play. Xander Schauffele Tauscher gets to go first.
I don't remember. Did I win week one? I know I won last week.
You win every week, buddy.
So I'm 2-0.
You did claim victory in week one. It was a contested verdict, but we're going to give it to you.
Well, 2-0 lead. That's you know, a little bit better than where Green Bay's standing, but not far off. So I've been talking a lot about what I think needs to happen from a defensive standpoint, and I still believe that that's going to be the key to the game. But our guy, the guy Jason, for whatever reason, doesn't like. He's going to be a Steinhoffel until I can't Steinhoffel him no more.
He was a Steinhoffel last week for me, and he caught zero passes.
But as you put it, the greatest zero catch game ever.
That's what I was told.
I'm going MVS. It's time. It is time. Big play MVS. San Fran is going to obviously, they're beat up in the back end. They're going to have to put a lot of resources into Devontae. I think they're going to have to come down to help stop Aaron Jones. Plays are going to be there. And when old boy has a tough time connecting with somebody the week before, I think he's going to be looking for him and wanting to kind of get him moving.
Atone.
Atone was the word I was looking for. Thank you, Jason. Marquez Valdez-Scantling is my Steinhoffel sweeper and sleeper of the week.
He said sweep with me, not sleep with me. Can we still make Seinfeld references? Like, will we be able to do that now it's coming to Netflix? Will young people be jumping on the Seinfeld train?
Yes.
Like they have with Friends?
Yes, for sure.
Jesse's shaking his head.
I don't know. Some of those early episodes look pretty old. It came around later, but those early ones, oof.
All right, Jesse, who's your Seinfeld / Steinhoffel sleeper of the week?
I am going to go on the defensive side of the ball this week. Number one, because offense
King.
Hasn't worked
Kevin
well for me.
King.
No, it's not Kevin
King. Kevin King.
I thought about it, and I was like, no, that's actually a horrible pick this week because he's probably going to get run out of the building again. San Francisco likes to run the football. Now, they've had some injuries at that position, but as we've seen when the Packers have played the 49ers in years past, if the 49ers can run the ball effectively, the Packers are donezo when they go out west. So, I'm going to pick someone as my sleeper of the week that's kind of calling them up. Dean Lowry. I'm calling up Dean Lowry.
Jesse.
Yeah.
Tausch picked a wide receiver who could have a 60-yard touchdown in the game.
Mm-hmm.
How exactly do you expect Dean Lowry to win this for you? Does he have to have a fumble return for a touchdown?
Not a fumble return for a touchdown. With defensive players, especially up front, you know when you know. We've done this long enough. You know.
Do you?
You know when you know. And Dean Lowry, I think, we've talked a little bit. I've seen it on the talk and text line, maybe more so than we've even talked about it here. Dean Lowry and Tyler Lancaster, what do these guys really do? Like, they're just kind of there, and their names we're familiar with, but they don't really bring much. You don't see them in the stat line. So I'm calling up Dean Lowry this week. I want him making plays. I want him stuffing the run. Make San Francisco as one-dimensional as you can make them. That's going to be the key to the Packers winning this game, and I think it starts up front with Kenny Clark and the fellas. And I'm not going to pick Kenny Clark as a sleeper. I'm picking Dean Lowry as a sleeper.
Are you calling him up or calling him out?
Call him up. Who said that recently? Oh, Monty Williams from the Phoenix Suns. I don't call players out. I call them up. I'm not calling out Dean Lowry.
Recently, the NBA Finals have been done for like 3 months.
I'm not calling out Dean Lowry yet. I'm calling up Dean Lowry. Your time, big fella.
Well, I'm calling somebody out. Not up, out. That person is Alan Lazard. Alan Lazard, who had some big games last year, has not had a whole lot of production so far this season, was open on the famed touchdown pass that Aaron Rodgers threw to Robert Tonyan, where you were like, how did he get that ball through there, right? That was an amazing throw. Well, guess what? Alan Lazard was wide open on the play. Even Aaron Rodgers acknowledged that. Alan Lazard, to this point, 2 catches, 16 yards.
But he's blocking well. He is.
That's what I've heard. Marquez Valdez-Scantling, on the other hand, blowing him away right now in production. Marquez Valdez-Scantling has 3 catches for 17 yards. One more catch, one more yard. So we'll see if those guys can get going. Davante Adams, meanwhile, 13 catches, 177 yards, but he's yet to find the end zone. Perhaps that will change on Sunday night. But my pick is Alan Lazard. You can make yours via the Wilde and Tausch Twitter feed, at Steinhoffels, at Wilde and Tausch. Pick your Steinhoffels sleepers of the week there. See if you can beat Dean Lowry. Hey, if Dean Lowry has a sack and MVS and Alan Lazard don't have touchdowns, I think that may win it for you, Jesse. But we'll have to wait and see. That is it for our Steinhoffels sleepers of the week.
You'll know when you know.
What is that? What did somebody say that to you recently?
Yeah, that's your. Somebody told him that.
It's like,
he thinks it's,
you know what that
clever.
Is? That's the new I got.
No, it's
you'll
it is what it
know.
Is. It is what it is too. It's the same thing.
You'll know when you know.
Oh,
I know.
Boy.
That Tausch is watching the Ryder Cup. We'll find out what we missed next. It's Wilde and Tausch. Continuing. Live with Tausch at the Ryder Cup, but in his home. Tausch, I'm curious about something. You're a golf fan.
Yep.
You enjoy watching golf. We learned earlier this year that you enjoy golf on the radio.
I do.
Do you think that's entertaining? But there have been major championships, individual-type championships, that have been competed for during our radio program. Friday rounds being played at the U.S. Open or the Masters. And yet I've never seen you as focused on the golf, and perhaps unfocused on the program, as you are today. What is it, because it's here? Is it because you love the Ryder Cup? What is it exactly?
Well, obviously, I like Steve Stricker a lot. And it's at a course I've played some.
Earlier this week.
So you start adding all that up, that my intrigue level is way up. But what I was oohing and on about, old boy Thomas hits one into the junk on 17. And if everybody knows, that's played Whistling Straits or has been there, there's like a bunch of railroad ties, and then it's a drop off a cliff, basically into the lake. And old boy hits it, and the ball takes a big old ricochet. So Spieth is sitting there in all this long, thick grass. He hits a chip up and almost runs into the lake because he was off balance. He falls, hits a great shot, and gives his partner a little six-footer to potentially stay in the match. It was fantastic.
Fantastic. So you played that hole this week, right? Because you
I did.
Played
yeah,
two
and
holes
you know
and then
what?
The back nine.
I hit a great shot that just flew into that back bunker. It was one of the holes I had. I finished the hole, but it wasn't a great score. But I deserved better because I hit a really good. I wrong clubbed it. I'm not going to blame my caddy. Oh, and if Thomas misses the putt, the match is over. Ball game. Come on, JT. So the U.S. is down one after one match. That just happened.
Wait, those are our horses that just lost.
Yeah, but we're in a good spot. We're up on the other three matches.
So that match is over.
No,
it's
no
good.
That's kind of how Team USA feels after the first hole, yeah.
This is not Black Wolf Run, man. This is Whistling Straits.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
So, down 1-0. 3 other matches are currently in progress, Tausch?
Correct, yes.
And then there are, what, 4 more this afternoon?
4 this afternoon. So there's 8 total points on day 1. You're hoping if you're a USA fan, you're going to be at 5.5, 6 is, I think, the goal. Obviously down 1, even if it's 4.5, 3.5, I think that adds up to 8, too.
4.5, 3.5 does indeed add up to 8. This has been Fraction Math with your teacher, Mark Tauscher. Tausch, I do want to get back to the Packers, if we could, because Jesse has now decided, is this a new segment that you've come up with?
Maybe.
Facebook question of the day?
Could be.
Johnny Facebook, your Johnny Montage?
Why not?
And Johnny Facebook?
I was thinking if we did it, I'll post a question every morning, and then I'll read one comment as the reward for those who participate.
I like that idea.
In our Facebook question of the day. Do we like that? Because we have a Facebook page.
It's true, we do. This feels a lot like you finding another way to get more airtime.
Ooh.
Or to have more people do his work for him.
That could be wow. This also is going to work out really well for me if we do
genius.
This.
Genius.
Wow.
Who's the evil genius now? It's Jesse Nelson. Diabolical like the Cardinals. Jesse, what is today's inaugural Facebook question of the day presented by Coors Light?
Which Packers player are you most concerned about after the first two games of this season? And let me tell you, I put up a little graphic of Kevin King, and there's a lot of replies saying Kevin King.
Is it just me, or does Jesse know how to manipulate social media, and he knows what the hot buttons are? Like, had you posted Alan Lazard, who has 2 catches for 16 yards, as I said earlier, probably doesn't move the needle. You know who to push the button on with Packers fans, and Kevin King is clearly the guy. Is he, Tausch, is Kevin King the player that you should be most concerned about as our Facebook question of the day?
I mean, obviously, you're going to have some concerns about Kevin King, but no, it's Za'Darius Smith, and it's not close. I don't know how anybody could look at this defense. You know, Kevin King's been out there, and he has, you know, been sporadic at best, I guess would be the way to put it. But
sure,
the pass rush has been inadequate. Za'Darius Smith hadn't played, and a little bit that he has played, he made the one nice play, and it got called and ended up being a negative because of the BS late hit call. I don't know where he's at. And if you're going to have concern as a Packer fan, the concern is he going to play? When is he going to play, and is he going to play? That's the concern, and he is a Pro Bowl stud on your defense. He's one of the pieces of the stacked team that I'm talking about. So that's my concern. I don't know. I don't have any answers, and I don't think they know. And I don't even know if Za'Darius knows where his head's at.
The reply that I'd like to read for you today is, I guess, Facebook question of the day, winning reply. I don't know. We'll work on this. Matt, I'm very concerned about the Elgton Jenkins ankle injury. Ankle injuries always seem to be a lingering thing without proper time to heal, and this team needs him to be great on that O-line. Tausch, as Matt says that about Elgton Jenkins, what do you say to Matt?
Yeah, again, I'm just not as worried as everybody else is. You're going to find different ways to move the football. Obviously, Elton's a big-time player for this team, and without David Bakhtiari, his importance is even more so. But y'all remember last year, right, when Billy Turner played left tackle in a playoff game and played well? And the team moved the football at a pretty high clip. Now, again, they're playing a salty group, and you better have your P's and Q's all dotted up, because you got some dogs coming off the edge. Run the football. Do all those things. Elgton Jenkins, this isn't going to be a season-ending deal. This is, you know, he's got an ankle. Hopefully he's going to be able to get out there and play, but if he can't, it's 1 week. You have to work through it. You have to plan around it. And you have to go out and find a program that you can execute to beat the San Francisco. The 49ers, this isn't the Buccaneers. This isn't some potent offense. You don't need to be at your best offensively, I hope. If you do, you have no chance. If you got to put up 30-plus, you ain't beating San Fran on Sunday.
When did the phrase, they got a bunch of dogs, when did dogs become... Because it was before the NBA Finals when P.J. Tucker talked about... It's become a pretty popular phrase. When did this happen? When did we want dogs on our team?
Well, they've been doing these psychological exams at the combine. They want dogs. Never wanted cats. Always dogs.
Yeah, but he's a cool cat. I don't.
Yeah, you want to hang out with a cool cat. You want to go into a street fight with a dog.
But so does that mean Charles Woodson is both a cool cat and a dog?
No, he was a dog.
He's a cool cat that you want to hang out with, though, too. Depends on the setting, I guess. So, Jesse, if it's not Kevin King, Tausch says Za'Darius Smith, but I would like to focus on the concern about a player's playing in this game. And my concern is Kenny Clark. Now, Kenny Clark told us yesterday that he can't try to do too much. Because when he chases plays, that's when he really makes mistakes. And he even had a couple of examples that he shared with us of times when he did that. But they need more from Kenny Clark. He did have some good rushes. He had a few pressures in the last game. But they need him in the run defense. They need the whole deal. And they need him to come through in a big way. That's my choice for the Facebook question of the day. Presented, Tausch, by Coors Light and the Blue Mountains on the blue pages of Facebook.
Coors Light, brewed with a three-step cold process, cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged, so it is made to chill. Born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978, Coors Light is refreshing. It is crisp, and it is only 102 calories. Be a lot of Coors Light being drunk down at Soldier Field this weekend at tailgates for that Badger game. Myself, after the game, when I'm going to want to chill out after hopefully a big Badgers win, it'll be Coors Light in my hand. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. All tied up. Ryder Cup update. All tied up at 1-1. DJ and Morikawa getting it done. Zip.
More of your Mark Tauscher Ryder Cup update.
Somebody just zipped one in there. Oh, my guy can't
from
light.
His home. Zip. Presented by Delzer Lithograph. Delzer. Commercial print done right, much like our coverage of the Ryder Cup, done right by Tausch from home. In the 11 o'clock hour of Wilde and Tausch, which starts in 2 minutes, stick around.